that it was asked last
yeah.
night. Oh, yeah. There's something of a reality in pastoring. You're around people with needs all the time. It's a reality that you will be rejected, mocked, ridiculed. When I think about all that the church has given me on the negative side, I question, why am I still in the ministry? Except when you see the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart.
Right.
You start seeing that no matter what people do to you, there's something that comes from the throne of grace and from love that you want to minister out of that. What a joy it is to be a pastor. It's not because of any of the scars. And I was telling Bill this morning that I don't know if I've graduated yet, but I've had a few years in the School of Hard Knocks. And in the process of that, it teaches you the lessons of life, does it not? One of the lessons that I so appreciated was being at Pinecrest and being with students like Andrea and Clay that were on fire to want to be used for the Lord. Any of you want to be used for the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just get my reference point here. One thing that happened when I was up at Pinecrest is I was able to teach a preaching class. And in the preaching class, I would have the students, they would have to come back and share a message for 20 minutes. And one thing I tried to do was equip them with some of the substance of what should be given during a message. Amen. I got them acquainted that if they're going to preach the gospel, it's probably good to know what the gospel is. So they had to do a paper that told me what the gospel is. So they would preach the gospel. But one thing I did, and I would grade them on it, is that there would be four things that we need to know and convey to the people we're speaking to. The first thing is that we need to know who he is. Isn't that what we sang this morning? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. That's who he is, isn't he? He is someone, and I could speak the whole day here just preaching. You know, he's the great El Shaddai.
Right.
He's the El Elyon. He's the Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Just to get into his character and his nature, it's an awesome study, is it not?
Yes.
It gets us from looking at our dilemma into how great he really is.
Amen.
And then the second aspect that I would always have the students convey in their message was what he's done on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
His nail-scarred hands were there, stretched out, and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And then at the end, he said, "It is
finished.
It's been accomplished." Who knows, everything that we need was done on the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think we need to know what he's done. The third one is what we're going to zero in on today, and that is what we can receive. The fourth one, of course, is what we must do. I could speak all day about how you serve the Lord and what you can do to go out there and evangelize. But today, we're talking about this thought of receiving. Who has received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Hallelujah. That's a good thing, is it not? Hallelujah. I'm just going to start where if the cry of every pastor, for everyone in the body of Christ, would find their place and function. I think in church history, you'll find that there were clergy who said they were the ministry, and then there were the masses who had to listen to the clergy. Who knows that you matter in this church?
Amen.
Who knows that each joint supplies, and if anything, we are gifts from God for the purpose of serving you, not lording over
right.
you, to equip you so you can come into the fullness of who you are. Oh, it's the passion, it's the pastor's passion, so that each joint supplies the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And it says in Romans 12, 5 through 6, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Listen to this. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. I want you to raise your hands. Who has a gift that could contribute to the body of Christ? What good is a gift if you haven't received it?
Amen.
What good is a gift if you forgot it in the closet? There is something that God has given and contributed to the body of Christ. We're going to look a little bit about this thought of giving. Who knows that the gift that they have received by His grace is to contribute to the church?
Amen.
We need to know that we can receive. Now, I'm going to look at some of the benefits of the thought of receiving. Now, do you know that heaven is available to us?
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus said? Amen. Repent, change the way you think and act, for the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp. It's near to you. He wanted to bring heaven down to earth. Isn't that a good thing? And He wanted to show us the resources that we had by faith that we could lay a hold of and receive. One thing that is a very common portion of Scripture is this is what we start out in receiving. Listen to the benefits of receiving. In John 1, 11 through 12, it says, He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who received Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Who's thankful, amen, and who stands in awe that behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. I have a Father. I don't care how many father issues I've had in the past. I have received the love of the true Father.
Yes. Amen.
Is that good?
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
He has given us the power to become children of God. I love that. We're not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In 2 Peter, we start seeing that Peter talks about these things of blessing, these things that we can receive. Hallelujah. And he says this, His divine power has granted or given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Who has ever felt like they were a chump and not worthy for the gunpowder to take it to blow you off the face of the earth? Who has ever felt unworthy? Anybody? Aren't you glad that we see here He's given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness,
right. Amen.
Through the knowledge of Him who called you to His own glory and excellence. What? You want to bring us into glory and excellence? That's an amazing thing, having that interaction with the Father. And then it goes on to say, by which He has granted or gave to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, who wants to be like Jesus?
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful promise? That we're not only promised that if we receive Him, we're part of the family, but we become children of promise.
Yeah.
Amen. Covenant simply means a binding agreement based on promise. What are some of the things that God has promised us as a body of believers? I'd love your response. Anybody know some of the promises?
That we'd be healed by the stripes of Jesus.
There is no question that there's healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, anything else?
He has a home for us in glory.
Hallelujah. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. There was a promise written to Ezekiel that he said, man, the whole nation has profaned my name everywhere they go. But I want to tell you, and he says, I am going to sanctify my great name within you. Who's glad for the promise that no matter where you came from, that's not going to be your end result? Because there's the influence of the sanctifying God that comes in our life and begins to transform the way we think. And it starts by getting us from the place of being scattered to the place of being near the Lord. And then from there, he sprinkles us. Right. And then he washes us clean. Who's thankful for that? Amen. Can we receive a cleansing here this morning?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
And then he says, I will give you a new spirit.
Amen.
Proverbs says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and that light went out. But oh, when the Lord breathes upon the spirit of man, what happens? Are you thankful that he gives us a new spirit?
Yes.
There's a regeneration that comes from above where life happens. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then he'll give you a new spirit.
Yes.
Amen. A new spirit.
Yes.
A new heart. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Take the heart of stone out. One of flesh that he writes upon. I'd say these are great promises.
Yes.
Are we receiving the promise of God? That's the point of this message. We're going to be receiving some things here. And then he says that I will give you the Holy Spirit, so you, I'll cause you to walk in my way. These are great promises.
Yes.
I love them. Thank you, Lord. Who has ever heard the word in Christ?
Amen.
Have you?
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, so what does it mean? Okay, we're covered. What else? How do you get to be in Christ?
He's in us.
It's true. And how do we get that? It's simply that if we've been born from above, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God has been planted in our hearts, our eyes open up to the reality of who we are, and we find ourselves getting born from above. You are in Christ. And I think it's important, because when we know our new position and our new standing because of what he's done when he says it is finished, then we begin to know a little more of what we can receive. We start looking that in the first chapter of Ephesians, you don't need to turn there, I'm going to go through it quickly because I want to go in another direction, but you start seeing that in Ephesians, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Who's blessed with every spiritual blessing?
Amen.
Who has received it?
Amen.
Well, we are receiving it, but there's a lot more, isn't there not?
Yes.
And then it says that we are accepted. All my life, I wanted to be accepted. I was the younger brother, and my brother was more handsome. He was stronger. He was everything else, and I was just, ew, you're funny looking. Who loves that stuff? And I always wanted to be accepted. Guess what? I'm accepted in the Beloved.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Yeah. Who has received the acceptance? I have had the approval of the one who has the final word. That's good news.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And if you continue, amen, all the way down Ephesians, you'll see that you have redemption. It's a picture that in Hosea, Gomer, his wife, is in a slave market, probably stark naked, being sold. And he comes and buys her back with silver. What a picture. Redeems her. She's mine. You can't have her, slave market guy. I have her. And Hosea redeems, purchases her, takes her away from the slave market, and brings her into a new day. Who's thankful for being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Who has received the washing of the regeneration? Amen. Of the word and his blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The death angel passed over, did it not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm just getting started. Oh, I love his word.
Amen.
Amen.
We were once very far off, I can tell you stories from before Christ, but I don't want to. They were bad. But I thank God he reconciled me to himself.
Yeah.
The great distance that was between us. Are you glad that you have forgiveness?
Yeah.
We're going to look at forgiveness a little later in this message. Amen. And then we see that we have an inheritance. Hallelujah. I have a papa that's rich.
Yes.
And the treasure he has for me is rather awesome. And then finally we see that he's raised us together from death in our transgressions to a place that's lofty with a different perspective. Are we a blessed people?
Yes.
And I'm telling you something, that as a pastor I have seen most, I'm not exaggerating, most of God's people don't know how to receive who they are in Christ. I have counseled many for many hours that they don't know how to even receive love or give love out because they don't feel worthy of it. Who's thankful he makes us worthy of it?
Amen.
We need to learn to receive what God has for us today. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, this is just getting an intro. I'm going to be going in a different direction in a minute. But Matthew 10:8 says this. In sending his disciples, he makes an awesome statement about ministry. Anybody want to be in ministry? Careful. Careful before you raise your hand. Who knows that you are called into ministry in some capacity?
Yes.
I already set you up because I told you that you have gifts according to his grace that you are to contribute. So you're in the ministry. Sorry. In sending the disciples out, he's made an awesome statement about ministry, which is simply giving out what you have received.
Amen.
If I haven't received of the Lord, I got nothing to bring you.
Right.
Or it would be from my own deposit, and what good is that? Amen? But this is what he says. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Listen to this phrase. This is in the ESV. It says, you received without paying. Mm. Now give without paying.
Mm. That's good.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
You received without paying. Now give without paying. Where does your true ministry come from? When you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when you got born again, I got to tell somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Blind, and now I see. You begin to give out what you have received. All right. But now we're going to look at reality. Who loves reality? Just talk to me about how wonderful we are in Christ. But then we have to walk every day, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Let's go to 1 Kings. We're going to read a story about a man named Solomon. Who has ever heard of Solomon?
Amen.
How would you love to be the son of King David? Is that a hard act to follow?
Yeah.
And you're young. You're inexperienced. And your father's getting old. Here, son, you're going to take it over. Yeah, really? You looking at me? Let's see what happens here. In 1 Kings, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Starting with verse 3, I'm just going to be reading a little bit, and then we'll keep moving. Hallelujah. I believe there's going to be some breakthroughs here this morning.
Yes.
Who needs a breakthrough in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who wants to be able to receive that breakthrough here this morning?
Amen.
All right then. You come to the right place. 1 Kings chapter 3. Just want to read a real quick story. Now, if you had the opportunity, you went to bed tonight and you dreamed a dream, and whatever you wanted, you can have, and I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? If I had $1 million. What would you ask for?
What can I
Salvation of our closest, whatever it was, you have carte blanche. Now, this one who is in over his head, that doesn't think very highly of himself, and he's got a countless multitude that the buck's going to stop with him. In over your head because of the cares of the world. Who has felt like they've been in over their head? I can't do this anymore. So now he has the opportunity, and he says this, verse 3 of chapter 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And then he had a dream, and it says, ask, what shall I give you? Verse 6, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked in your faithfulness. And then at the end, it says, had given him a son to sit on the throne this day. I am the one who's got the final word in the kingdom that my father had. Verse 8, and your servant is in the midst. No, actually, we'll read verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, what?
Wisdom.
One translation says an understanding mind to govern the people. So what Solomon is doing is asking for a gift. Did Solomon do anything to deserve the gift? Did he receive the gift for the purpose of the best interest of God's people?
Yes.
Did it delight our Lord?
Yes.
It really did.
Yes.
Amen? I want to discern between good and evil and who is able to govern this, your great people. And we know very clearly that the Lord said, I'm going to give you a wise and a discerning mind. And he had situations that were impossible to judge. Guess what? Nothing was too difficult for him. Why? He received something from God to know the difference between good and evil, and he had insight to practically apply what he knew God was going to do.
Yes.
Who needs to be able to practically apply what God's perspective is in the matter?
Amen.
It's called wisdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you go to chapter 10, just because of the gift he received, the Bible says that the gift makes room for you. I want to tell you, this queen down in the Queen of Sheba comes up and has difficult questions. If I were to have, say, a seminar right here and now, and I would have you write down all the most difficult questions that you have for God, would you have any?
Yes.
Who has questions that have gone unanswered? Give me your best shot, your hardest one. That's what the Queen of Sheba did. And when the gift of God was displayed through Solomon, there was no more breath in her. What I heard about what you had, it's not even close.
Wow.
I look at the way your servants are dressed. I look at how you've orchestrated this place of judgment. I am awestruck. And she saw the gift of God. Who would love to be used, first of all, to call unto God and receive a gift that would impact people in that capacity? That when they're in over their head and they don't know how to be, that you have an answer for them.
Right.
Amen.
Isn't that what the church is all about?
Yes.
It ought to be. I know I drive video people crazy because I wander. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. One thing that I have discovered all my life, I have had something that I would call unresolved issues. Who has ever had unresolved issues in their life? Okay. What does that mean, Dan? Well, an unresolved issue is you've done something terrible that needs forgiveness. You know he forgives, but you don't forgive yourself. Who has ever gone through something like that?
Oh, amen.
Huh?
Amen.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes.
I know that he forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. I can't believe what I did to my child. I can't believe. That's called an unresolved issue, and many of us have those. He forgives you, but you can't forgive yourself. That is an unresolved issue where you have not received forgiveness. Is there forgiveness available for you?
Yes.
Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Then why can't you receive forgiveness?
Good.
Isn't that a great question?
Yes.
Those are what I called unresolved issues, to where we need to see the truth from God's perspective, and there has to be a laying hold of it by faith. That is how we get the precious promises of God manifested to us, when we believe what God says. Who has faith in their heart?
Amen.
Do you believe what the Word of God says?
Yes.
But wait a minute. I just told you that you were forgiven, and you have an unresolved issue. I want to tell you, the Lord wants faith to sweep through this place this morning so that there can be something of an understanding clear of how we can receive forgiveness. I'm going to give you a little story. Again, remember, you can't give out what you haven't received.
Right.
Okay? I was at Pinecrest. I worked in the kitchen. I was a newlywed. My wife was a kitchen widow. And when we first were married, I was there all the time. And I remember there was a time I had to cook for 200 people, and there was a pot washer that had to clean the pots. And I was the head of the kitchen. Chuck, do you mind if you wash the pots? No. You gonna make me? This guy was 90 pounds soaking wet. And back then, I was hard as a rock. What did you just say to me? Mm-hmm. I've just worked 80 hours this week. And then my wife is at home crying because I'm never home. And you're going to tell me you're not going to what? Mm-hmm. Who has ever seen those commercial dishwashers?
Yeah.
You flip it up there, it goes up to 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. This pot washer was on the way to go through a cycle. Nice Bible school student, wasn't I? So I begin to go on my way to throw him in that washing cycle because he really got me mad. And instead I knew I was one of those Frenchmen that you didn't want to give in to your temper. Who's ever had a French temper? Anyways, I ran out of the kitchen. There was a water tower up a hill. And I said, Lord, you got to calm me down. He said, I don't want to hurt this guy. But I know that that's not what you want me to do. I need to receive something from you. He said, Dan, that really got you mad, huh? Mm-hmm. He says, Dan, I just want to let you know, you've been that pot washer to me all the time. I ask you to do a little something, and you say, no, are you going to make me? What did I receive from the Lord that day? The wash cycle. That's great. He did some purifying, bro. And when I realized that the very thing that made me mad, I am the chief offender, and I saw how much he forgave me, can I give forgiveness out? I want to tell you, every one of you who think that you've sinned too great where God can forgive you, amen, he can forgive you, and he can go deep, 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 deep to heal that. And I want to convince you that there is a God who understands all the offense that you had, and he still went to the cross when they were cursing him.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the kind of God where you can receive forgiveness. I don't care what you've done. I went back down to the kitchen in this scrawny little punk face. realized what he had just done and that he escaped from death. I went to him and I said, Chuck, my friend, I'm the chief offender. I'll be glad to do the pots. So I started going towards the pots. He said, Dan, I'm out of line. I never had a problem with him again.
Wow.
Why? Because I received something from God, a fresh revelation that broke this thing that made me so angry I wanted to hurt somebody. Who needs a fresh revelation from the Lord?
Amen.
Paul begins to pray that the eyes of your understanding, amen, would be flooded with light so that you would know the hope. His hope. His inheritance. His power that works within you. Who needs a fresh revelation that you receive from the Lord? Fresh manna, if you will. Lord, I haven't heard from you for a month, and I need to have that nugget that comes from your throne so that I can make it through today. Who needs it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What can we receive, saints? Oh. But in reality, every unresolved issue can be worked at.
Amen.
After being in the ministry for 12 years of a successful ministry, took it from 10 people to about 250 strong, and then there was someone who came in and started sowing discord and really did stuff where I had to move on from that place. And I want to tell you, I was abandoned. He cheated me. I didn't like this man very much. He even sent me a letter telling me I was unethical and to stay out of the people's life that I pastored for over 12 years. Is that a happy day for me? I want to tell you with some wise counsel from mentors of mine, God turned that around where I realized that in ministry, I had lost the intimacy with my God and with my wife. Who knows that life sometimes can rob you from that closeness.
Right.
The scripture says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. A holy fear that came within me that day. And I had a reverence and a respect saying, Lord, can you teach me? And so this letter that he sent to us, all I had to do was circulate that letter in the church that I used to pastor, and they would have ousted that guy because they liked me that much. I kept the letter. One day, I'm there with my guitar, and I'm wanting to worship the Lord with all my heart as unto the Lord. And guess what? The Lord says, I don't want to hear your guitar today. Your worship for me is the ripping of paper. And then I said, but Lord, that's the evidence that I'm right and he's wrong. He says, I know.
That's good.
He said, I have a list of evidence too, Dan, against you. What do you want me to do with it? I received something from God that day. I worshiped you and I ripped it up. I told my wife afterwards and she said, I know I should have made a copy. The point of what I am trying to convey here is that there are issues in your life. I had father issues that the Lord resolved. I had issues upon issues of forgiveness, of attitude, feeling insecure, feeling inferior. Who's ever wrestled with that? I had deep, deep things. And I want to say, I know what I should do. I should bury them down and hide them so no one knows. I can put on a good religious face. Hi, how you doing? Isn't that true? Who knows that God wants to go to the heart of a matter?
Right.
Who knows that God wants to cleanse us? Because he's that kind of a God that you can come just with all of your warts, with all of your insecurities, and he has a way that he can cause you to receive everything you need to walk in victory.
Amen.
All right. We're going to close. Let's go to, so much could be said, but we will close in Philippians chapter 3. Now, let me encourage you. Some of the most releasing testimonies that I've had is when it was the darkest in my life and when I've had a revelation of what I could receive from the Lord. Mm. A victory is what causes me to stand here to encourage you today.
Yeah.
I am the most content that I've ever been in my whole life.
Amen.
I am a wealthy, rich man, not in monetary status, but I know the treasures of the kingdom that he has through every struggle of life, where with every unresolved issue, I pray for those that have offended me the worst every day, that the Lord would honor them and bless them and bring them into the truth, because I can.
Yeah.
Because God has given me something I received from him, so now I can give out what comes from him, not the way people treat me.
Amen.
Who needs a little of that stuff?
Amen.
Okay, Philippians 3, and we're closing. Lord, we love your word.
Yes.
Start with verse 12. Paul is saying this. We've heard from John, heard from Paul, I mean Peter, now Paul. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Listen to this phrase in the ESV. But I press on to make it my own. Mm. I'm not there yet, but there is something I can receive from God so that in reality, I can lay a hold of what he's laid a hold of me. Is that good news?
Amen.
Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Who is Christ's own here this morning? Are you part of who Christ is? You are, you are. And because of that, he wants to come into the experience that no matter what unresolved issue is, the Lord can infiltrate it and give you the victory that causes your life to be abundant and full of the treasures of the kingdom. Do you long for that?
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. If you think just being born again and receiving the Lord is a good thing, wait until you start seeing the hidden treasures. That as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, he can begin to start bringing you the victory that you've longed for in a long time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who has any unresolved issues in their life right now that you're wrestling with? I had a teenage daughter. They happen to be 42 years old now. But when they were a teenager, my one daughter who had spunk, oh, did she have spunk? She's now a mission. She was a missionary all over the world now because she needed that spunk. But oh, man, when it's a teenager with spunk, with an insecure dad, oh, I brought you into this world. I'm going to take you out. One day, she came to me and she said, Dad, get out of here. When I was a 9-year-old boy, I went to help my dad. I wanted to be his little helper. He gave me the same words. Dan, get out of here. I don't need you. They became indictments in my little spirit.
Yeah.
That I had the spirit of rejection and a victim mentality all of my life. That's what I call an unresolved issue. So now my 14-year-old daughter is telling me to get out of here. She is alive to speak of it. But I had to realize how unresolved that was.
Yeah.
A little trigger came to the surface. Immediately I said, Lord, I know I'm not rejected by you.
Yeah.
I'm accepted. I don't feel respected right now by this adolescent punk. But Lord, You honor me, and I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I pray in Jesus' name right now that anyone who's struggling with any issue of life, that they feel that God can infiltrate it and do a miracle, amen, to cause you to receive the victory here today. I'm speaking to you clearly that we must know what we can receive, and we can receive all that God has for us even now. Who believes that?
Amen.
Who needs that?
Amen.
We are here to pray for you if you want that, because I believe that God can touch you right here, right now. Isn't that right,
Amen.
Pastor?
Amen.
I believe that God wants to release some people in the victory that is theirs in Christ. But I know He can. I'm telling you, I know He can too. But He wants to now.
Yeah.
Vulnerability, humility, and acknowledgement of your need will all have to come to play.
Yeah.
But when you do, oh, the treasures.
Yeah.
That's the word for today.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that has